Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Attention Talk Radio, the show centered around paying attention to what is being paid attention to, with your host, Attention Coach Jeff Copper.
Welcome, everyone. Tonight we have Dr. Roberto Olivardia here to talk to us about ADHD and sleep. I'm your host, Attention Coach Jeff Copper, and today is Wednesday, February the 9th in the year 2011 at 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Hopefully we got a good audience so nobody else is asleep yet, and our insomniacs are listening because we're going to have a real hot topic tonight on the topic of ADHD and sleep. But before we get going, I want to remind all of our iTunes listeners out there that you can actually get a preview of upcoming episodes and shows by going to attentionradio.com. There you can sign up for our newsletter, and we will send our upcoming schedules to you biweekly or thereabouts on a regular basis so you know what's coming and you can be there to listen into our shows. And that also goes for our regular Attention Talk Radio listeners to go to our homepage. We only list four shows, or we're only able to list the upcoming four shows on that site. But if you want to know what we have in store for us past that, you can sign up for our newsletter again. That's Attention Radio, just Attention Radio without the talk.com. With that being said, we've got some exciting shows that are coming up. I believe next week we have Stephanie Sarkis coming on talking about ADHD and finances. Dr. Russ Ramsey is coming on the week after that talking about the history of ADHD, which will be fun. And then the following week, if I have my memory correct, that's Dr. Russell Barkley will be coming on talking about the importance of emotion, ADHD, and let's see, after that, I can't remember, I know we have Dr. Michael Linden coming on talking about QEG and neurofeedback, and we got a lot of stuff that's coming up, so stay tuned. Again, go to attentionradio.com, sign up for our newsletter, and we'll send you our schedule directly to your inbox. Also, just a few ADHD weekly updates. Those out there who were listening to our show in December and early January heard Jody Sleeper Triplett come on board. She runs JST Coaching, and we also had Robert Tedesco talk about the Edge Foundation. For those that are interested, CNN did a piece on Jody coaching one of her clients. A clip of that is at edgefoundation.org. Again, that's EDGEFOUNDATION.org. You go there on the homepage, you can click on it and watch that. I think it's a 5-minute clip, and it was very informative. ADHD resources are having their upcoming webinars. I think the next one is actually ADHD in Love with Jeffrey Bernstein. That's Wednesday, February the 16th at 9 p.m. For more information on that, go to addresources.org. Let's see. Also, Linda Rogley, she's got a webcast coming up on February the 21st at 8:30. It's Procrastination and the Fine Art of ADD the Writing with special guest Judith Kohlberg. So that promises to be good. As a reminder out there for our ADHD coaches that are listening, the ADHD 2011 Coaches Conference is coming up April the 29th through May 1st in Chicago. Go to ADHDcoaches.org for more information on that. And as a reminder, Chad, the Children and Adults with Attention Deficit Disorders, their annual conference is going to be in Florida this year. That's very convenient for me being in Tampa. But anyway, that's November 10th through the 12th, and if you go to chadd.org, you can get more information on that. So let's put that stuff aside. Again, today we have Dr. Olivardia, who's a clinical instructor and research fellow at Harvard Medical School and maintains a private practice in Arlington, Massachusetts, where he specializes in treating adults and adolescents with attention deficit hyperactivity disorder. He also works with people on body dysphoric disorder, that's BDD, obsessive-compulsive disorder, OCD, and other eating disorders. He also conducts a group for men and women with BDD at the OCD Institute at McLean Hospital in Belmont, Massachusetts. He's the co-author of The Adonis Complex, I hope I pronounced that right, a book detailing body image problems in men. He's taught courses at UMass Boston, Boston College, and is a consultant on a number of projects dealing with male body image issues. He's a frequent speaker at conferences throughout the United States, and recently I know for a fact that he was presenting at the last CHAD conference in Atlanta last November. So with that, welcome to the show.
Great. Thank you for having me, Jeff.
I'm really excited about this show because it's really great for ADDers, and I think a lot we can learn tonight will apply outside of that. But to kind of jump into some stuff, can you tell us what facts do you have on ADHD and sleep, particularly as it relates to those diagnosed with ADD?
Sure. That what we know from research studies is about a quarter of the ADHD population have a clinical diagnosable sleep disorder. About 50% of children with ADHD will have a sleep disorder by the age of 18. And various sleep studies and research studies on sleep have found that children and adults with ADHD are more likely to have decreased REM sleep, increased daytime sleepiness, circadian rhythm or sleep cycle abnormalities, problems getting to sleep, problems staying asleep, waking up in the morning, and problems being aroused and awake in the face of unstimulating activities during the day.
Now, when you say the clinical diagnosis of sleep disorder, is that literally, are we talking about something that's completely separate from the ADHD, or does it just go along with ADHD?
It's a good question. There's we know that there's probably something that underlies something about having ADHD that gives rise to issues with sleep. Anecdotally, I don't know anyone with ADHD that doesn't have some issue with sleep. So they're probably, when you think about the ADHD brain, is a brain that is very fast and might have a hard time sort of slowing down. And when you go to sleep, that's what you need to do. You need to kind of unwrap, ready for bed. And for a lot of people with ADD, they have a very hard time doing that. And even during the night, that a lot of people with ADD will have things like restless leg syndrome, sleepwalking, sleep talking, a lot of tossing and turning, almost as if their bodies are still moving even though they're sleeping. So there's probably something underlying biologically or genetically that gives rise for people with ADHD to be more likely to have issues with sleep.
That's fascinating. So, well, I guess we'll talk about treatment and diagnosis a little bit further, because it's almost like you can treat the ADHD, but if it's separate, you can do that. But if it's combined, it just gets kind of complicated. But before we get into that, can you talk about how sleep issues actually affect those with ADHD?
Sure. That what we know is that they really affect each other in a lot of ways. So we know that people with ADHD are more likely to have issues with sleep. However, having issues with sleep is going to promote ADHD symptoms in a lot of different ways. So when people are sleep deprived, people with ADD are sleep deprived, what we see is that their hyperactivity tends to increase, their inattentiveness tends to increase, they tend to be more moody, more irritable, and even there's one study that showed that even 1 hour of sleep loss three nights in a row impacted people's vigilance levels on a test known as the continuous performance test, which basically tests reaction time, that even 1 hour of sleep loss three nights in a row impacts one's ability to be attentive to that. We also know that sleep deprivation lowers one's metabolism, which then leads to increased appetite and makes one more at risk for obesity and weight issues.
Wow. There's a lot in that. Let me back up. You said it actually increases hyperactivity?
Yes, and that's what's interesting. You would think that, you know, if you're not getting enough sleep, that you're going to be very tired. But actually, hyperactivity is sometimes one of the theories of hyperactivity in ADHD is that it's the result of an unaroused brain, that if the brain is not aroused enough or it's not stimulated enough, that in a way the body is going to gain that stimulation in to compensate for the lack of stimulation that one is getting mentally. So if you're tired and you're sleep deprived, where now your body, your brain is not stimulated, it's not aroused enough, and even in the face of stimulating activity, it's almost as if your brain can't catch on to it. That can actually lead to more hyperactivity, where people feel that their hyperactivity levels are actually revving up a little bit.
That's fascinating to me. The other thing that you said, it was actually decreases metabolism.
Yes. One of the things that in general, I mean, this is true for anybody, but particularly people with ADD, one of my areas of specialty is in the field of eating disorders, and I treat a number of people who have both ADD and eating disorders. What we know is that when we are sleep deprived, there is a hormone in our body called leptin, which basically helps regulate body fat and insulin levels. And interestingly, when we're sleep deprived, these leptin levels get regulated in such a way that they promote our body to hold on to body fat. So basically, it's almost as if our brain is operating on a caveman evolutionary mentality that says, if I am sleep deprived, it must be because a higher order function is threatened. And the only thing that is higher order over sleep would be food. We need to eat. And so in a sense, it's almost like our body is holding on to body fat, almost in a hibernation mode when we're sleep deprived. And so it actually becomes where a lot of people, for example, might eat while watching TV, not getting enough sleep, that that actually will lower your metabolism and increase your appetite. So it's actually a double whammy. It's lowering your metabolism, increasing your appetite, and actually making you crave more fats, more sugars, and more carbs. So if for people in general who are looking to lose weight, one of the things that one should work on immediately is their sleep.
This is fascinating to me, and you're probably an appropriate person. I'm hearing more and more discussion that those with ADHD or particularly inattentive type are more prone to have weight issues. Is that accurate?
That is accurate, and actually, it's both inattentive and hyperactive type.
Okay.
And one of the myths would be that if people are hyperactive, that they're probably going to be quite thin because they're moving around all the time. I spoke a couple of years ago at the CHAD conference about ADHD and eating disorders, and what we found is that because of all the demands that having a healthy diet basically calls for, being regulated about time and preparing foods and being prioritizing certain meals, many people with ADD lack a lot of those skills, and so they're thinking, they're only thinking about, okay, what am I going to make for dinner at the time they should be eating dinner as opposed to an hour before, and that leads them to often eat fast food or takeout or to binge eat, because if you skipped a meal, which many people with ADD will work through their lunch hour or be involved in a project, when we skip a meal, our body already goes into a starvation state, and Mother Nature will have its way, and we will start to eat and crave more fats and more sugars and more carbs to compensate for that.
Wow, that's fascinating. We have to have you back to talk about just the correlation to weight. But and moving on, I want to run to a commercial break real quick before we get back and talk about some of the common sleep disorders. But before we do, for our listeners out there who might want to contact you, how would they get in contact with you?
Sure. My email address is Roberto, R-O-B-E-R-T-O, _ Olivardia, O-L-I-V as in Victor, A-R-D as in Daniel, I-A, at HMS, as in Harvard Medical School, .harvard.edu.
Excellent. With that, we'll be right back.
This is your ADHD information station. Attention Talk Radio. News, updates, and alerts sent right to your inbox. Sign up now at attentionradio.com.
Flying into life's storms with ADD can leave you swirling in chaos, feeling lost and alone. But Steve Gundy is here to say you're not alone, and there's a horizon waiting for you. Steve Gundy Coaching Practice, LLC, at 574-855-1800 provides the necessary support and tools you need to maneuver your way through the storms of life. Call Steve today at 574-855-1800 and schedule your free 30-minute session. That's 574-855-1800. Fly through life storms to a new horizon.
Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
I'm Jeff Copper, host of Attention Talk Radio, here to talk to you about CopyTalk.com, a voice dictation service. This is not just some voice dictation software. It's a real dictation service by people who type whatever you want. When I need to document something, all I do is hit speed dial on my cell or work phone and start speaking. The folks at CopyTalk will type it up and email it back to me that day. The best part is I can dictate as many 4-minute messages as I want, all for one flat monthly fee. go to copytalk.com/APR, enter Jeff Copper as the referrer's name, and sign up for the free trial account today. If you tell them I sent you, then you'll get $20 off the monthly subscription for as long as you keep the service.
Could hiring an attention coach really help you move forward? Does a child get wet when they dive into a swimming pool? You can get started moving forward today. Just call Dig Coaching Practice at 813-837-8084 and schedule a free consultation. Tell us you heard about us on Attention Talk Radio and get 50% off your discovery session. For more information, visit digcoaching.com. Don't delay. Do it today. You're listening to Attention Talk Radio. And now, back to the show.
Welcome back, everyone, to this edition of Attention Talk Radio. We're talking about ADHD and sleep with Dr. Roberto Oliverdia. It's been a fascinating discussion. I think I'm learning a lot so far. Can you tell us a little bit about the common issues and sleep disorders associated with ADHD?
Sure. Probably the most common one that I hear is difficulty getting to sleep or falling asleep. Many people with ADD will say that at the time that other people tend to be falling asleep around 10 or 11 o'clock, their brains are actually starting to wake up and starting to feel more energized. And if you ask many people with ADD, they'll tell you that their ideal hours of going to sleep are probably between 2 a.m. and 10 a.m. And what's interesting is that sleep studies actually have shown that there's a biological reason for that. That for many people with ADD, they actually have issues with their sleep phases being delayed. So for most people, their brains do tend to get tired around 10 or 11 o'clock and start to wake up around 7, 6, 7, 8 o'clock in the morning. But for people with ADD, it's almost as if their circadian rhythms, which are our sleep cycles, I have ADD myself, are sort of programmed a whole phase later. So that makes it even harder. But it's also, they will talk about having their minds are just kind of racing and they're thinking about a million different things, and all of which doesn't work very well when you're trying to go to bed and go to sleep. In addition, many people with ADD are engaged in a lot of high stimulating behaviors, being on the internet and video games, and going from that to trying to get to sleep is a very difficult thing because the mind is wide awake at that time.
Absolutely. I can think of video games, shopping, the internet, particularly now as opposed to a couple of years, people have a tendency to kick back and have alcohol and stuff at night. I would assume that would impact it as well.
Sure.
Among other things. Tell us, if you could, what information or studies do you have around that you can share with regard to the population? I mean, you talked about that their rhythm seems to be off. Is there anything else out there that seems to sort any other biological type things that are associated with ADHD and sleep problems?
Sure. In terms of biological, what we know about sort of what might cause it?
Yeah.
Sure. That what we know is that people with ADD also have there are various neurotransmitters that we have in our brain, and those are basically chemicals that send messages in our brain. And one of them is dopamine. And people with ADHD tend to have very low levels of dopamine. And that is sort of one of the neurotransmitters that's also involved in sleep. And so if you have some issue with dopamine, that's something that can also affect one's disruption in sleep. And serotonin, which is another neurotransmitter that tends to be a little dysregulated in ADHD and is also a neurotransmitter that's very important to sleep in normal sleep cycles. So you can imagine a disruption in serotonin systems then could give rise to both. The other thing is that, as mentioned before, with the sleep cycles tend to be a little bit different. And also even clinical sleep disorders like obstructive sleep apnea, narcolepsy, those disorders have also been found to be quite common in the ADHD community.
Working backwards. Would you recommend if you have ADHD and you're really having some difficulties in sleep, is it worth going to a doctor and saying, hey, listen, can we go through some tests to see if I have sleep apnea or some of these other things? Because if they have that can be treated in some different ways. Is that right?
Oh, absolutely. I would say if anybody has an issue where they're waking up in the morning and they're tired, where they feel like they haven't slept, and particularly if they're snoring. know themselves that they're snoring. You have to ask their partner or their roommate or a family member. They'll tell you whether they're snoring. And if you are snoring, snoring is one of the most common red flag symptoms of sleep apnea. And many millions of people have sleep apnea and don't even know that they have it. That it's not, for some people, they wake up in the middle of the night, they're gasping for air. But for most people with sleep apnea, they're not breathing or their oxygen levels are so desaturated, but they're not waking up in the conscious way that we are talking right now. So it's definitely worth getting a sleep study. And if it's not sleep apnea, it could be, I've had patients that upon sleep studies have found out that they never enter REM sleep. And REM sleep is the part of sleep where we dream. And it's also known as one of the most important stages for restorative functions of sleep, the part of sleep that makes us feel like refreshed when we wake up in the morning. So if you're never entering REM sleep, that's a problem. We have four stages of sleep, 1, 2, 3, 4, and then you hit REM sleep. Some patients might skip a stage or never enter stage 4, which is the deepest sleep. So it would definitely be worth it if you find that you have trouble staying asleep, if you have a problem waking up in the morning, and you feel throughout the day as well. It's definitely worth getting a sleep study.
Well, I know when I'm coaching people, they kind of come in, I always sit there and say, if it's there, let's go talk to some professionals about this to rule out some other things, because if it's something more than just ADHD, we need to know about it, because it's a completely different issue
right.
In terms of kind of moving forward. So I think getting the right diagnosis is proper, is important. Now, earlier you said that dopamine and serotonin have an issue. Are they elevated levels of serotonin and dopamine or decreased levels, or is it something else that creates the problem, or is that clear?
We know that the ADHD brain tends to have lower levels of dopamine than the non-ADD brain. But in terms of what's actually going on, we don't know if it's too much or too little. We know it's sort of a disruption, particularly in the serotonin systems, because serotonin is highly implicated in the role of sleep. And so we know that there's some disruption that's there. We don't know exactly sort of what that is, but we know that there's something about that brain chemistry that gives rise to both of those issues. And, you know, it's interesting because a lot of people, when they do treat, if they have sleep apnea or just getting a good night's sleep, will find that their ADD symptoms will improve dramatically. And in fact, there are some people who may be falsely diagnosed with ADD when in fact they might have an underlying sleep disorder. And if they get that treated, might find that they don't even have ADD.
Well, certainly, because, I mean, if you're tired and you're having a hard time paying attention and it leads to activity and stuff like that, those symptoms can mirror and it could really just be a sleep problem. So it's really important.
Absolutely. And we also know that, you know, genes, that ADHD is highly heritable. So we often see it in the genetic tree. And we also know that sleep, that there are genes for sleep that are probably inherited as well.
Certainly. Well, I want to go to another commercial break real quick. But again, before we do that, can you get everybody your email address if they didn't have a chance to write it down?
Sure. It's Roberto, Roberto, underscore, Olivardia, O-L-I, V as in Victor, A-R, D as in Daniel, I-A, at HMS, or Harvard Medical School, .harvard.edu.
All right. We'll be right back after this message.
This is Attention Talk Radio. We'll return in a moment.
Your life, your world, your choice. This is Attention Talk Radio.
Okay, let's be honest here. How many times have you forgotten the wet laundry in the washer and it started smelling a little funky, so you had to wash it again, maybe even twice, in the same week? Well, you may be an AD Diva just like me. I'm Linda Rogley, and I founded the AD Diva Network for women with ADD-ish tendencies, especially those of us 40 and better. The AD Diva Network is a great place for support, connection, and a touch of whimsy. You can join us at addiva.net. That's addiva.net.
Hi, I'm Dr. Ari Tuckman, author of More Attention, Less Deficit, Success Strategies for Adults with ADHD. This is the only book actually written for adults with ADHD. Each chapter is divided into short articles, so you can read only the stuff you want in the order you want. I take lessons from the research and make them totally useful in your daily life. You can get a free PDF of the first chapter at adultadhdbook.com. Check it out.
And now, back to Attention Talk Radio.
Welcome back, everyone. We have Dr. Oliverdi here with us talking about ADHD and sleep. For our callers out there, if you have a question, we have a lot of material to cover. If you have and you haven't pushed one, do so. That way I know that you have a question. And also for some of the listeners out there, there's a good chance we're going to go over today. If that happens, you'll be kind of cut off, but you can pick up the back half of the show. If you go to our archives, just go to attentionradio.com and look for ADHD Sleep, and you'll be able to listen to this if that does take place. I want to talk about treatments or working. If you do have ADHD and you do have sleep problems and you don't have sleep apnea or something else that's kind of confusing, I want to talk about what you can do. But before we do, just because I've been some notes and I've seen some of your work, I will have to say as a coach, when people come to me and they want some coaching around sleep, I always say, hey, listen, let's go talk to a professional to make sure we have the right diagnosis. But if it all checks out and they kind of come in, one of the things we talk about is the ADHD brain and how do we shut it off in order for you to go to bed. And there's two sides of that. One is you got to walk away from that stuff that stimulates your brain. And the other side is when you do that, how do we shift what you're paying attention to? And again, when we talk about ADHD, as I described, those with ADHD have a need to be paying attention to something all the time. And if you go to bed and you're worrying about something, you're trying to solve a problem, or you're really engaged in something like, you know, I have a person that came to me one time, they were reading macroeconomics before they went to bed, and I'm like, come on. They were really into it and stimulating. So as we get into this stuff, I'd like to remind our listeners out there, if you kind of keep that in mind, I think a lot of what Dr. Oliverdi is going to share with us kind of falls into that. How do you turn your mind off and really kind of shut it down so you can sleep? So with that, I'm going to ask the professional, what do you recommend?
Sure. I think just to start with what you had mentioned in terms of really unplugging from a lot of highly stimulating activities that people with ADD are very drawn to. I mean, the internet and YouTube and Facebook and video games and highly interactive media in that way. I would say to someone who has an issue with sleep to try to disconnect from that material at least an hour to 2 hours before they go to bed, which would be very difficult for a lot of people to do. But if you think of the ADD brain as one that it's almost like a lawnmower, that once you get that motor going, it just goes. It carries momentum. So to be on the internet where you're just exposed to just endless amount of novel images, the brain is just getting, it's just candy to the brain. It's just so stimulating, and it produces the momentum that makes it very difficult to just stop once you get that. Interestingly, a lot of patients will say, a lot of people with ADD will say that they will have no trouble falling asleep on their couch while watching television, and upon going to bed will then slowly sort of start to wake up, or they'll shut off their computer, they think, oh, well, let me just check one more email, and then bam, their brain is just completely awake. The other thing is to just basically, it's almost like training your brain to destimulate, having the lights in your house dimmed, wearing the clothes that you would be wearing to bed, changing into them at least an hour and a half to 2 hours before you're going to bed. So it's basically using external cues that is basically starting to train your brain to say, oh, I guess I am going to sleep soon. The room that you're sleeping in, that studies show that you'll find that it's easier to fall asleep if you're in a cooler room and under the covers where you're sort of more comfortable than a warmer room. Having one of those sound machines or white noise machines, many people will talk about having a fan on in their room where there's some sort of white noise that is sort of going on and on that the mind can kind of attach to but will not get distracted by because it's not stimulating, it's not changing. It's a very consistent sound.
I'll add to that. I've worked with some people before who did that because they had the fan on in the background, not so much to be soothing, but if there was like a creak or like outside loud, it would drown it out because distraction would awaken their brain and they would kind of engage. So it also it's soothing, but also kind of drowns out any other sounds that you might have that would alert you.
Exactly. Things like warm milk, chamomile tea. Deep breathing exercises or relaxation exercises, a warm bath can really help. Having a room very, very dark is almost a necessity for a lot of people with ADD. And if it's hard to get your room dark, to wear an eye mask, the littlest amount of light is just too stimulating. The brain will attach to that. And being very aware of the role of caffeine. Now, there's an interesting, you'll hear sort of two sides to this. Many people with ADD will say that actually having a little cup of coffee will enable them to get to sleep better, which makes sense in the sense that caffeine is a stimulant, and like Ritalin or Adderall, that if it's stimulating their brain to kind of just think singularly about getting to sleep, it perhaps could be easier. Other people will say that that's certainly not the case, that they have to be very aware of how much caffeine they take. So I would just encourage people to just be aware of the amount of caffeine they have during the day, how much that's affecting them, because for some people who particularly who could be very caffeine sensitive, having caffeine even after 12 in the afternoon could affect their sleep that night.
In the spirit of what you just described, because caffeine is a little bit of stimulates your brain, I've heard some mental health professionals that are actually prescribing stimulants before those with ADHD go to bed to calm the brain down to actually sleep, which is kind of counterintuitive. Have you heard of that?
Yes, absolutely. That for people who are taking stimulant medication, that you would think that with stimulants that this is something that's going to really disrupt sleep. And studies have actually shown, there have been very large studies that have looked at this particular issue and wondered, is using stimulants, does that make one more likely to have a sleep problem? And they found that actually it doesn't, per se, that in fact, in some studies have found that the use of stimulant medication enables people to get a better level of sleep because they're not distracted when they're going to bed. The process of going from A to B to C to D and then getting into bed, that they're more focused about that process of, okay, I'm going to bed, as opposed to A to B and then B is, oh, well, let me check my email, and then C is, oh, let me get something to eat, and then D is, oh, let me make that quick phone call, and all of those distractions start arousing your brain. So studies show actually that for people with ADD, the use of stimulants can actually be very helpful.
That's fascinating. It's a little counterintuitive, but when you think about some of the effects it has and stuff, because it's kind of like I always describe some people are working to imagine that your brain is like an orchestra. It's kind of all over the place, and when you take the stimulant, it's like the conductor taps and everybody kind of gets together in tune. Everybody kind of calms down and kind of gets on key. It's
right.
Almost like, all right, it's time to kind of everybody kind of come together and let's get on key, and just so happens the orchestra's getting ready to leave or go to bed.
Right.
Which is counterintuitive, but when you think about it, it's there, and if it works for you, awesome.
Right, and you have to think the ADD brain is it's just a different type of brain chemistry, and
yep.
So it's really kind of working with that level that brain chemistry.
So I always like talking to the experts on this stuff because particularly in the show in the last year I've had several people on, and more the coaching world and the science world are really kind of coming together in terms of some of the biology is actually starting to explain why some of the things that we do. And again, for those listening out there, as a coach, I always work with people when they come with the sleep problems, and we focus on how do we turn down your brain, how do we shut it off, how do we get it so that it's not so stimulated, it's really kind of relaxed. And everything you describe, whether it's meditation or yoga or white noise or keeping the room dark, all those things are strategies to shut it down. And I know it's difficult, particularly many ADDers, particularly in the workplace, they come home and they're behind because they didn't accomplish as much, and a lot of times they use the evening time to kind of catch up. And if
yeah.
you start to do that stuff when you're kind of going to bed, that lends itself to the problem because you're all jacked up. So I know it's difficult for you to come home and put work aside, but in one sense, if you continue to do that over a period of time, what I've learned tonight is that the sleeping prep stuff will exacerbate your ADHD symptoms and make it even more difficult the next day and throws you into a negative cycle.
Absolutely, definitely. And on average, people with ADD tend to get less sleep. And if you ask many people with ADD, they'll say that they need, when they go to bed when they're exhausted. And we really shouldn't be going to bed when we're exhausted. At that point, we should have been in bed an hour or two ago. But a lot of people will say that as a way of, in a sense, trying to sort of self-medicate any type of mental arousal that might occur when they're trying to get to sleep. So if they're so exhausted that they literally go to bed and they're passed out in 30 seconds, for them that's better than going to bed. And in that five-minute time that someone who doesn't have ADD could fall asleep, in that 5 minutes the brain could wake up and keep them up for the next hour.
It's fascinating. There's one last thing that we haven't talked about that I just want to just touch base on, and that is exercise.
Yes.
Can you talk about that a little bit?
Sure. Exercise, again, you'll hear very differing points of view, similar to caffeine. I could exercise in the nighttime, and that will actually help me fall asleep because I've gotten out all of my energy. Exercise is always good. Frontal lobe activity. Other people say it's just too stimulating, and so they're, you know, once they have a good workout, they're like ready to conquer the world, and that's when they feel most productive. So again, it's really looking at what your particular brain responds to, because ADD is not the same thing in everybody. You'll see some people with ADD who need complete silence to do work, and other people with ADD who always have to have music on while they work. And it's similar with the issue of exercise.
And I have to highlight, back a little over a year ago, it was October of 2009, I did a show with peer coach Dan Pruitt, and the title of the show, for anybody who wants to listen to, is The Many Different Versions of ADD, and it was a tongue-in-cheek type thing, because Dan had done the math one time where if you have inattentive, there's six symptoms out of a possible nine in order to be diagnosed, and there's a total of 84 different combinations of symptoms that would enable you to be diagnosed with inattentive, and there's the same goes for hyperactive, and there's, I think you have to have 12 of 18 symptoms for the combined. Anyway, if you go through all the combinations, add them together, there's like 18,000 different versions of ADD. And the show was not just, I mean, the point of the show really was to say, hey, listen, so often we read stuff about ADHD and we think it's a one-size-fits-all, but as when I'm working with people, it's everybody's ADD is completely different, and we need to get to know your brand of it.
Exactly.
And that's very, very, very important. And I'll tell you, I was an athlete in college, actually internationally ranked swimmer. And swimming, I mean, because I would literally swim the equivalent of run a marathon every day, 4 hours a day plus weights. Mm-hmm. And I can tell you that it was amazing to me because after you get done exercise and you can't sleep for a period of time, but about 2 hours later, I could conk. And I will tell our listeners out there, Dr. John Rady has agreed to come on the show to talk about exercise, and I'm talking to Michael Phelps's agents about having him come on, since he has ADHD, to talk to him about the impact of exercise in ADHD. And it's Michael is training for, I forget, it's World Games or something this summer, and we're having some scheduling problems. And I can tell you, if we ever have that, we'll definitely bring this up because it'll be an exciting show, but particularly from his perspective. But just know that for some people, exercise can really, really help, although maybe not right before you go to bed. For others, it can be a challenge, but it's another tool to think about.
Absolutely, and I would say that exercise at any time of the day still will help with sleep quality. So even if it's in the morning you're exercising, that morning exercise will actually affect your ability to go to sleep in a positive way that night. So exercise is overall always a good thing.
Excellent. So, Dr. Lever, is there anything else? We don't have a lot of time left. We need to kind of clear this thing up. But is there anything else that we didn't cover that you think should be mentioned for those out there that are listening to the show that might have some issues and just curious?
Nothing except just for people to really take this issue seriously, particularly, you know, with something like sleep apnea, that is quite common sleep disorder, and the consequences are quite severe in terms of cardiac damage and issues like that, that later on in life, if this goes undiagnosed, or just sleep deprivation in general. It's a very, we're a culture that doesn't want to go to sleep, and for people with ADD, it's tenfold, and so just to take it very seriously, and you'll find that you'll feel a lot better.
The title title of the show tonight was actually ADHD and Sleep, Who's Got Time For It? It's kind of appropriate right now with our world 24/7 and unplugging and ADHD. Really, you need to make time for it because it's good health, it's good for your heart, and good for everything else. So, Dr. Oliveri, I want to thank you very much for coming on the show. Probably have to call you back and come back because I'd love to delve into the eating disorder type thing from your perspective. But with that being said, again, one last time, can you let everybody know your email address so if they've got any questions they can contact you?
Sure. RTO_Olivardia, OLIV as in Victor, ARD as in Daniel, IA, at HMS as in Harry, Mary, Sally, .harvard.edu. And thank you very much for having me on the show. I really enjoyed it. I'd love to come back.
Well, thank you. I appreciate you kind of coming on. And everybody else, remember, go to Attention Talk Radio to look at our upcoming shows or even subscribe to attentionradio.com newsletter, and we'll send this stuff to you. So with that, have a great week. We'll catch you next week. I believe next week we're talking about ADHD and finance with Dr. Stephanie Sparkus. So have a great week, everyone.